Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs, refreshing, relevant, real.
Matthew chapter 26. So we've been in the Gospel of Matthew. We went up through chapter 7 of Matthew's Gospel last week. So we're going to jump a little bit ahead to the events surrounding Easter. So today we're on Palm Sunday. And Andy read that passage here earlier. But I want to just talk a little bit more about that. So Matthew chapter 26. So Matthew chapter 26, titled the message, Come to the Table. Let's just do a little recap of what it looked like the week leading up to the crucifixion of Jesus and the resurrection. So often you hear it referred to as the Passion Week, okay? So it would be on Sunday, actually on Sunday, that Jesus would... His disciples would get a colt that had never been ridden before, right? And it would be a young donkey. And so he would sit upon that, and as he was going from Bethany was just a little ways off, east outside of Jerusalem, close to where the Mount of Olives was, okay? So that's where the Sermon on the Mount was. It was just a few miles outside of Jerusalem to the east. He would spend the night at Bethany. That's where Mary and Martha were from, and Lazarus. Remember, Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead, pretty powerful miracle. So that's where he spends the night there. He then gets on that donkey and rides that into Jerusalem. Well, what happens on the way to Jerusalem? People begin to take the palm branches, right? It wasn't orchestrated. God orchestrated it. But they began to take the palm branches and they put them on the ground, right? They even took their jackets, their outer garment, they placed it on the ground. It would be symbolic of somebody that was a king, right? If you had royalty that was coming before you, is what happened. They broke out in praise. Hosanna to the Son of David. So that's a very messianic. They saw Jesus as the one, the Messiah, that would come to deliver them. So they really saw the fulfillment of Scripture in this. So that happens on what we call Palm Sunday. The religious leaders are very upset about all this, right? But the people cry out and they praise him and they magnify him. He comes into Jerusalem. It's right in that time period that he goes into the temple and he throws at money changers' tables. Just stuff goes flying. It's roughly in that area. He goes back and spends the night in Bethany. And then you have events that take place throughout the week. But Thursday night is where we're going to jump in. Thursday night is what? It's Passover. So what in the world is Passover? We're going to talk a little more about what Passover is, but we'll talk more. They're going to celebrate Passover. So let's, before we go into God's Word, let's pray and then let's look at this together. Father, this morning we thank you for your Word. It is your living Word, Lord, to us. It speaks to us, and we pray that just in the moments that we have, Father, that you would take your Word, apply it, and speak to our hearts this day. It is life to us, and we just give you the thanks and the praise in your name we ask. Amen. I'm going to start with verses 18 through 19 in Matthew chapter 26. It says, on the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, where do you want to make preparations for you to eat Passover? He replied, go to the city to a certain man. I don't know what the certain man was, but they had some indication they were supposed to go see the certain man. The teacher says, my appointed time is near. I'm going to celebrate Passover with my disciples at your house. So they're just going to invite themselves to somebody's house. How does that sound, right? Hey, we're coming over. We don't know you, but we're going to have Passover at your house today. All right, tonight. Verse 19, so the disciples did as Jesus had directed and prepared the Passover meal. All right? So Passover, what was Passover? Anybody remember? Passover was a feast that they would celebrate annually that remembered their deliverance from Egypt. Remember that? The 10 plagues would happen within the land of Egypt to prepare them to be released out of Egyptians' bondage, right? So the final plague was the death angel was going to pass over, and all the firstborn male children, livestock, were going to be killed that night by this death angel, right? The only way that their life could be spared, Jew, Gentile, whoever, the only way that their life could be spared is if they took a lamb, they killed it, they prepared it, they ate that meal that night, they had to eat the whole lamb, and they had to take the blood of the lamb and put it where? Above the doorposts of the house. If they did that, the death angel passed over, and their lives were spared. Now, think about this. Why did all that happen? The night that Jesus is going to be betrayed, he has Passover with his disciples. Who's the Passover lamb? Jesus. So you're seeing the fulfillment of a feast that happened many, many years ago, hundreds of years before. Now we see the fulfillment of it, that Jesus was the ultimate Passover lamb that would allow death to pass over us. Okay? All right. So I want us to look a little more about what is called the Lord's Supper and communion. It's all part of that week, what we call the Passion Week, leading up to the resurrection of Christ. So what did this last meal represent? First of all, there's some significance. There's just three things that I want to pull forward. First of all, the table reminds us that God desires fellowship with us. Go to verse 20 through 25. It says, "Then when evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12 disciples. And while they were eating, he says, 'I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me.' They were very sad and began to say to one another, 'Surely not I, Lord.'" You know, they're kind of looking at each other saying, "Is it you? Is it you?" Right? "Surely not I, Lord." Jesus replied, "The one who dips his hand in the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him, but woe to the man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." Then Judas, the one who would betray him, said, "Surely not I, Rabbi." And Jesus answered, "Yes, it is you." So, the table. Often we overlook the table, right? Growing up in church, the table was up front and it had the Lord's Supper or communion on the front of it, right? It was kind of ornate and decorative, right? And the purpose of the table was what? To hold the bread and the grape juice, right? That's what the purpose of the table was. But when you look at Matthew chapter 26, the table was, yeah, it had the bread on there, and it probably had the grape juice, right? But they were all seated around that. They were actually reclining, right? So the tables that they had back then were much lower to the ground, and so they didn't sit on a chair. They were sitting on the ground. They would sit on a little bit on their side. And that is how they would fellowship, and they would eat around a table. And so while they are doing this feast of Passover, they've had the lamb already. They've eaten. They're probably a little bit full. Jesus says, "We're going to do one more thing." Right? And so then he takes the bread and the grape juice, and he goes into that. But the part I want to catch is that the table reminds us that God desires fellowship with us. The Lord's Supper or communion isn't just a matter of, hey, I did communion, I'm good with God, right? It's a reminder that Jesus went to the cross so that he could have fellowship with us. It wasn't just so that you could have salvation. That is important, right? That's important. But it goes back to that he wants to have fellowship with us. God loves you that much, he loves me that much, that he went to the cross so that we could have fellowship with him. And see, prior to sin coming into the picture, God would walk with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day in the Garden of Eden. You go back to Genesis chapter 2 and 3. It's pretty cool. You know, the sun was setting and it's kind of cool out. That's a good time to take a walk, right? And guess who would come along on the walk with you? God. Wouldn't that be cool, right? God's just walking right with you. They had fellowship with God, but once they sinned, they took of the forbidden fruit. It says not only was that relationship severed, but now they were cast out of the garden. And that fellowship with God was It was broken, right? Because of sin. Sin came in between. And so God begins to put in a plan to deal with sin so that that relationship could be restored with us. And that goes back to Genesis chapter 3. If you, Chris will put it up on the screen here, verses 14 through 15. So after they sin, they kind of said, whose fault was it? They blame each other, right? But this is what God says to the serpent. He says, the Lord said to the serpent, because you have done this, you're going to be cursed above all livestock and all wild animals. You're going to crawl in your belly. You're going to eat dust all the days of your life. And I'm going to put enmity, hostility between you, so it's between Satan and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. So between human beings, there's going to be a hostility, okay? And he, Jesus, will crush your head. Jesus is going to crush Satan's head. And that's a fatal blow in the Hebrew. It means it's going to be a fatal blow. So some of that's already taken place, but one day he's going to be thrown in the pit and he's never coming out, right? It's going to be a fatal blow. But you, Satan, will strike his heel. That is a wound that can be recovered from. And it's a reference to the cross that Jesus would die, be placed in the tomb, and he would be resurrected. So already in the beginning of Scripture, we have a promise, we have a prophecy that God was going to put a plan in motion to heal, to restore our relationship with him. You know why? Because God desires fellowship with you so much, he was willing to send his son to the cross, to die on the cross so that that relationship could be healed. You know that? God just doesn't love mankind. He loves you so much, he's willing to send his son to the cross for you, to have a relationship with us, with you. I hope that you allowed that to sink in this morning. I think many times we look at that God is, he went to the cross for our sin so that we could have the hope of heaven. You see, heaven is more than just being in a safe place. It's kind of like, whoo, you know, I'm escaping punishment and, you know, some of you are going to, no, I won't go there. Some of you are going to get there by the skin of your teeth, maybe, okay? All right? But it's not a matter that, hey, I made it to a place without punishment. Yes. But it's that I have that relationship with God. That's what that song is going to talk about. We sang earlier, we're going to close with it again. This is what John says in Revelation 21. He says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer a sea. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. Who's the bride? The church, yes. And I heard a voice, loud voice, from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling is now with the people, with you and I, and he will dwell with them. See, that was God's plan with the cross is that he desires to dwell with us, to be amongst us, that relationship. They will be his people and God himself will be with them and he will be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eye. There will be no more death, no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain, for the old order of things has passed away. So as we partake of the Lord's Supper this morning, and we have the table, I'm going to have you come forward. We do that from time to time. Sometimes we bring it to you. Sometimes you come forward. Today you're going to come forward because it is God's invitation that, and reminder that he wants to have fellowship with you. He desires that. He's given us an open invitation, and we have that ability because he went to the cross for you and I. The table reminds us that God desires fellowship with us. Secondly, the bread. It says in verse 26, while they were eating, Jesus took the bread. So we have some right here. He took the bread and he broke it, gave thanks, and gave it to the disciples, saying, take and eat. This is my body. Now some faiths actually see that the bread becomes the body of Christ when you partake of it. We don't see that. What we see is that it is symbolic, that it represents his body. It's through a reminder that his body was crushed for our iniquities. And so the bread reminds us that Jesus took our punishment upon himself. Jesus took our punishment upon himself. So as the bread was torn, we'll just do that right now, okay? So as the bread was torn, right? So his body was broken. It was crushed. It took our punishment and took our pain upon himself. This is what Isaiah says, 53, 4 through 5. So vivid. Isaiah wrote this, what, hundreds of years before it ever happened? But it says, surely he took up our pain and he bore our suffering. We considered him punished by God because he died on a cross. When you die on a cross, that means you did something wrong. You deserve to be there. But Jesus didn't deserve to be there. He was sinless. He was perfect. So why did he die on a cross? Because our sin was placed upon him. We considered him stricken and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, for our sins. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace with God was on who? Was on him, right? It appeased, it atoned for our sin so that we could have peace with God. And by his wounds we are healed. I believe it's a reference to that our relationship with him is healed. But we also believe that when we come before him for healing, it's based upon that verse of scripture that by his stripes we are made whole and we are healed. As his body was literally torn from the flogging, from the thorns in his head, from the insults, the spikes that were placed in his hands and his feet, and the punishment he took along the way, that was our punishment that he took upon himself. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We've each gone our own way, right? Now, I know some of you are good. You're good. Just came out of the womb just perfect, right? Yeah. Not, right? Some of you are pretty good people. But you know what? We've all sinned. We've all fallen short. And it's amazing, even just a young child, as perfect and beautiful as they are, you know. I remember those days, you know, having baby boys. You remember that. They eventually develop a will of their own, right? You say, don't do this, and they say, yeah, I am. I'm going to do it, right? They get that look in their eye, right? There's sin there. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. But you know what? He was sinless, and so he was able to take. He could be the perfect sacrifice because he himself was without sin, and he took our sin upon himself when he went to the cross. He took our punishment. He took our pain. He broke the curse that goes back to the Garden of Eden. He took that all upon him. And by his stripes we are made whole and we are healed. The bread reminds us that he took our punishment upon himself. Amen? And so when you come forward and we partake, you take a piece of bread and you rip it off of there. Remember, in a similar fashion, his body was broken. It was crushed. It inflicted punishment that should have been mine. It should have been yours. All right? Third, verses 27 through 30, the fruit of the vine. Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he says, drink from it, all of you. This is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you the truth. I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now until the day I drink it anew with you. Where? Yeah, my Father's kingdom. Did you know that one day, so Jesus was having this last supper with his disciples. He said, you know what? One day we're going to do this again. But it's going to be in eternity. It's going to be in heaven. We're going to have a banquet. You know, the Lord's Supper picture, you know, that the one, the painting and stuff like that. They're around this banquet table and stuff like that. It's just not a good portrayal of what it was really like. But it might be a good portrayal of what it'll be like in heaven. In heaven, it's going to be the banquet table and everything. This is what it says. The fruit of the vine symbolizes his blood that will, by his blood, we are forgiven. Okay, that's the point for your program there. It reminds us of his blood that was poured out for us so that we could be forgiven. It symbolizes his life was given for ours. And in the Old Testament, the sacrificial system provided a backdrop for this. It helps us to understand that our salvation would come at a cost. Okay, so when in the Old Testament they would take a dove, a lamb, a calf, and they would sacrifice, and the life of that animal would cover over their sin. Right? It made atonement for it. But that life had to be given. You couldn't just take the blood. It had to be their life that was given for yours. And Jesus ultimately would be the fulfillment of that again because he was sinless. The sacrifices were a temporary system until Christ would come. But he poured out his life so that we could have life. And one day we'll be at that banquet table. So in Revelation 19, 6 through 9, it says that I heard the sound of a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters, and like the loud peals of thunder and shouting. And they were shouting, Hallelujah. For the Lord Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory. For the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. So that's referring to the church. Fine linen, bright and clean, we were given to wear. Where are we getting our good, beautiful clothes from? The fine linen stands for the righteous acts of God's holy people. He clothes us in his righteousness. And verse 9 says, the angel said to me, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And he added, these are the true words of God. So there is going to be a banquet in heaven when we get there. And it's going to be celebrating the Lamb, celebrating Christ, what he did for us on the cross of Calvary. And my goal is that each person here today is there. Amen? Each of us is there. The fruit of the vine reminds us that by his blood we are forgiven. We're forgiven. From what happened this week, what happened 12 years ago, what happened 30 years ago, what happened this morning, you're forgiven. Do you deserve it? No. But you're forgiven because of Christ. Amen? You're forgiven because of Christ. I referenced Revelation chapter 5, and it is the setting for that song that we sang earlier, that new song. I'm going to have the musicians come. If you want to turn to your copy of God's Word on your phone or whatever. But I want to read this. Starting in verse 1, it says, then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne, so this is God the Father, the scroll. It had writing on both sides, and it was sealed with seven seals, probably wax, you know, where they imprinted it with a signet ring. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll? But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. John says, I wept and I wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll and look inside. Then one of the elders said to me, do not weep. See the Lion of Judah, from the tribe of Judah, the root of David. He has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals. Then I saw a lamb looking as if he had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. He had seven horns and seven eyes. He was an interesting looking fellow. Each are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he came and he took the scroll from the right hand of him who sits on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp. And they were holding golden bowls of incense, which represent the prayers of the saints. Did you know your prayers are like incense before God? And they sang a new song. They said, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and by your blood you purchased men for God. From every tribe, every language, people, and nation. Think about that. Tribe, language, people, and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and a priest to serve our God. So that's our new job description. We're going to serve God. and they will reign on earth. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000s times 10,000s. Wow. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they sang, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power, wealth, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, praise." And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and the sea and all that is in them singing, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise, honor, glory, power, forever and ever." And all the living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped him. That's what it's going to look. That's a taste of heaven. You know, John's trying to write down what he's seen. Sometimes we think, "John, you man, you're using these weird descriptions." Well, he's doing his best to describe what he's seeing, you know. And it probably didn't make all a lot of sense to him, did it? He's doing his best. But he said there's going to be the throne. God the Father is going to be there. Jesus is going to be there. And it's because of Jesus that we have a hope, that we have a future. We have redemption. We have forgiveness. We're able to approach God. We're able to approach God. Would you stand this morning? I'm just going to give an opportunity. I call it a salvation prayer. But this morning, we each have an opportunity just to know that Jesus is our Lord and our Savior, that we have the hope of heaven. Sometimes we can live in that place where we don't know if God was going to take our life today, would we go to heaven or not? That's not a good place to be. I don't want to be there. But Scripture says we can know for sure that we are saved, that we're right with God, that we have peace with Him. We can know beyond a shadow of a doubt. So I want to lead us in a prayer this morning. And you, if you make it your own, I believe that God hears your prayer. And then we're going to partake of communion. I'll give some more instruction on that. But would you pray with me this morning, saying, "Dear God, come into my heart and into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me and purify me. Be my Lord and my Savior. And thank you for the cross. In the name of Jesus we pray. I'm going to have those that are help with communion if you'd make your way forward. And what we're going to do is I'm going to, as they sing this chorus, I'm going to invite you to come forward. You don't need to touch the bread. All you do is just touch the piece of bread you're taking. Tear off a piece, dip it in some grape juice. You don't have to totally baptize it, okay? Just dip it in there, all right? And then you can partake of it right there. And instead of going back to your seat, if you need to go back to your seat, I totally understand. But if, I don't know, the picture I had in my mind is if we could just kind of gather around the front as we would in heaven. Kind of what we read, as we gather around the throne, we just worship Him. Your focus shouldn't be on anybody else but God. You just close your eyes and just find a place where we can just worship Him before we dismiss. If you're okay with that, if that makes you uncomfortable, feel free to go back to your seat. There's nothing wrong with that. So, but I want us just to worship Him and end in a time of worship. Amen? Amen. And so let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just thank you. We just come in a reverent way this morning just because it represents that you gave your life for us. The bread symbolizes your body that was broken, that was crushed for us. The fruit of the vine represents your life that was poured out for us. The table, we're coming to the table because ultimately, Lord, you sacrificed your life so that we could have fellowship with you, that sin would be removed. And so, Lord God, we come to worship you, to magnify you, to give you glory, and to give you praise. And we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. So, just a minute, they're going to lead in that chorus. Just make your way forward when you're ready. partake of communion, and then find a place to worship. If you can hang out up front, I think it would be kind of cool. Amen. Lord, this morning, we just thank you that you are worthy. And Lord God, and one day we will gather around a real throne. And you'll be in the center of it. Our sins will be forgiven. Sickness and death will no longer be a part of the equation. We'll be eternally with you, Lord. No more sickness, no more pain, no more death. You're worthy, Lord. And Lord God, as we go through this week and prepare for Resurrection Sunday next week, and Lord God, I pray that this is in the forefront of our mind, that as we live each moment, as we live each day, that you are worthy. You're worthy of how we live our lives, Lord God, and just that we can keep that in the forefront, that how we live each moment, each day reflects on you. And Lord God, to live it in a way that is great for what you did, so that we can reflect the presence and the glory of God in the world that we live. And that we can lead, love, and connect people to the life-changing relationship that we have in Christ, that we can share that with the world around us. Lord, we just give you the thanks. We give you the praise. We ask it in the precious name of Jesus. Everybody said, amen. Praise God. Would you just greet each other as you leave? If you see a new face, just love on each other a little bit and just tell each other you're glad they're part of the family of God.